How real do you get as long as how you You say fine, bless. I like that. Because you know you're blessed. That doesn't mean you're not having a bad day. You're still blessed anyway. But fine is like, I don't want to talk about it. Right? It's like, how real do you want to be? I think maybe a better question to figure out what a person is really going through is asking the question, what's on your mind? Right? What's on your mind? Because, so there's two truths true at the same time. Always, these two truths are always true at the same time. And you get to choose which of these truths to focus on. And depending on which of these truths you get to you focus on, it dominates your perspective and affects your emotions and your actions. So these are the two truths. These are the first one and two, the little blank here. The first truth is this: always true. Life is hard. Always true. Life is hard. Like even if things are going good someplace, there's a place in your life where things are hard. There's always life is always hard in some place in your life. That's just a situation. Oh my goodness, like a reunion here. We got Trey back there. We got the Ben Rose trolls here. I haven't seen them in years. I'm here. That's a real. Hey Trey. Life is hard. Can I get an amen? Amen means like I agree with you. If your life isn't hard, then you don't need to be here because this is for people who have they see think like it's like you know, if everything's perfect, I don't know if you need this at all. So that's truth number one. Life is hard. Someplace, is that right? The second truth is this: even though life is hard, God is good all the time. Life is and God is good at the same time. Those two truths are true every single day. Life is hard and God is good. Just because life is hard doesn't mean God is good. It isn't good, right? We know is God is good and life is hard. It's like it's hard. And it's up to you and I to figure out which of these two truths to focus on. Because you can only focus on one of those truths at in your mind at the same time. You can only hold one of those things in your heart, in your mind, because if you're focusing on you notice this, if you're focusing on how hard life is, your problems get really, really big, and God seems like this small, and you start complaining and worrying, you ask some questions, and you're like, God, like look at how big these problems are, and God is this small, and I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to deal with these problems. But the opposite is true. If you focus that, hey, God is good. He's faithful. He's always come through. He's given me everything that I ever would need. And you see how big and magnificent God is? Then your problems kind of start to shrink. But both of these truths are true at the same time. And it's up to you to choose which of these truths to focus on. And if you focus on one or the other, whatever you focus on, it will dominate your perspective, your viewpoint. It will affect your emotions. It will affect your decisions. So this is what I want to do. You see there's a we're going to go through Romans chapter 8, just a lot of verses here. Verse 18, there's that first verse right there. It says, I consider, you see that? Can we read that together? Verse 18, okay. Let's read it out loud, okay? I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. To us, actually, there's different versions say in or to, okay? Let's read that one more time. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So there, he's talking about these two things. He's saying present sufferings, yeah, life is hard. But then he says, on the other side, it says the glory that will be revealed, right? By what God is doing. And he says, there's these two sides. Should I compare the goodness of God with and we weigh it out on the scale? my sufferings, my present sufferings, have my problems in life. Right? So that word right there, it says not worth comparing. That word compare in the original is the word for a scale, for its axios, the axis. It's saying you got to measure it out. You know, which one is heavier? Which one has more substance? Right? So let's think about present suffering right now. Man, it just breaks my heart to, if you just look at the news, there's just so much suffering out there, right? Think about the world, right? I mean, there's war, there's poverty, I mean, they say today there are more enslaved children today than more than any other time in human history. And it's not, you know, it's not plantation slavery. It is child workers in factories to make your Nikes, right? And everyone's driving electric cars today. That's cool and all that, but they're sending kids into these mines to get these rare earth minerals to get to make the batteries for these cars. And it's like they're saying that there's so much more pain, there's so much pain and suffering. And you think about racism and injustice, and you think about poverty, you think about broken families, you think about all these different things. It's like there's just so much suffering right now in the world, right? But let me bring this home. Let me make this kind of personal. All this stuff that's going on, you know, political divide and racism and all the like here in this nation, that's one thing. That's kind of suffering out there in the world. That's external. Okay. I've been wrestling with some internal struggles, my own present suffering. There's two things I've been kind of struggling with emotionally that I'm like, man, that's just not good. I just doesn't feel right. Okay. The first thing, I'm a guest speaker, so I could just tell whatever. Okay. And you can't fire me, so that's all right. I call it the envy of the wicked here. This is one of these, okay? I've been trying my hardest to keep my nose clean. I've been trying to be a good Christian. I've been trying to raise my kids. I've been trying to stay married. I've been trying to be a good husband, father, be a good Christian and do the right thing. We had to make a lot of sacrifice, try to serve the Lord, try to honor the Lord. All this stuff I've been doing and it's hard. That part is hard. It's just being faithful, just being a faithful Christian is hard. Being a good father is hard. Being a husband is hard. That's just hard. Okay. But you know what? You know what gets me? There's just people out there that care nothing about the Lord. They're anti everything I believe in. They curse the Lord. They live lives like they just don't care about God. They're like told like they're just people against God. Okay. What gets me is sometimes I look at their lives, and it seems like their life is better than my life. They got more money in their pocket. They got more opportunities and vacations, and you know, on social media, you see, oh my goodness, they're going to this, oh, they're going to that concert, they're doing all that. And this is the thing, they're not trying to follow the Lord, but it seems like they are more blessed than me. I'm like, Lord, how come I'm trying to keep my nose clean? I'm trying to honor you, but how come my life is actually harder than the people who are cursing your name? And I feel like, am I the only one that ever feel this way? Anybody else here? It's like, why is that? So present sufferings, okay? So I compare, that's the start comparing. This is the other thing that I just recently get a little personal. I just recently understood about myself and kind of like why I do the things I do. I just learned a lot of the things I do is, yeah, it just goes way back. It's based on some wounds that I have. Okay. So growing up, I loved and hated my mom. Loved her, but she was an alcoholic and it was just terrible. And she was mean and bitter and never said she loved me. And it was just, she was always harsh and bitter. And then when I was young, she left. And I just like, there's just this wound. 30 years later, my mom gets sick. I got four older brothers. I'm Vietnamese, so in our Vietnamese family tradition, like the oldest is supposed to take care, and then if he doesn't, the next one and the next. I think I'm clean because I'm number five, and I was like, you guys better take care of your mama, do your duty. None of them, nope, we ain't taking care of that woman. She's evil. And it came down to me, and I'm like, I'm the only Christian in this family, and I don't want to take her either. So we took her in, we cared for her, and she was dying. She had 18 months to live. And she came into our house, and again, just a spirit of bitterness and this darkness. It's just like it like was destroying my heart when she came in. And it was just trying to love her and trying to, like, it was just so hard. And then about a year into it, about 6 months before she passed, the Lord broke into her heart and changed her heart. She gave her life to the Lord. And in a moment, her life was changed. And she started being joyful. And I heard, I love you for the first time. And I called my brothers over, like, hey, I don't know what happened. And why don't you come over? And she started saying, I love you, I love you. She said, okay. And then she started telling the story. I didn't realize how wounded my mom was. I learned about her background and the family that she grew up in. That when she was a kid, like at like 10, 11 years, she used to drink with her dad. And then there was all this abuse going on back then. And then all this stuff growing up, and I didn't know how bad things. Like, I didn't know my dad was unfaithful to my mom all those years. And she was trying to hold it together, right? And I thought she left me. But she left this guy that was mystery. But as a kid, I couldn't see that, right? So this is what I'm saying. Somehow, the Bible calls, they call it generational sin. She was wounded, hurt, and she wounded me, and I carried all these wounds. But this is the hard part. Now I start to see patterns that I'm not only the victim, I start to carry on that pattern of being like wounding other people. Like just a little while ago, my wife was telling me, hey, your daughters, you're too harsh with them. They don't trust you because, and I'm just like, and I'm seeing how my wounds, like, it's hard being the victim. But when you start seeing yourself becoming the villain, I'm like, I got no control of this stuff. Like, this is generational. I can't control my in myself. Am I speaking to anyone? You guys notice? And I'm saying, what I'm saying is, life is hard. I'm not, there's no blame. I'm just saying, life is hard. The Christian life is hard. Redemption and healing and following God is hard. I know I'm forgiven. But I also know I have not been healed of the wounds in my life. Right? So this is what I want to do. Because I need it for myself. I could focus on life is hard and just be frustrated, be angry, be resentful at the world, and be negative. Or I could choose to focus on the goodness of God. It doesn't necessarily remove those problems. Those still reality. But today I'm going to choose to focus on the goodness of God. So this is what I want us to do. In this scripture passage in Romans 8, there are five things that are current truths right now that you can focus on. Well, first, this you notice where it says, our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Okay. It doesn't say the glory that will be given to you, right? As something God is going to give you, do for you, sometime way off in the future. That's not what it says. It says revealed. That word means veil, right? It's like you got that present. It's right there. It's yours. It's already given. You just got to open it up, right? It's a veiled glory. It says the glory that will be like it's not you're waiting. It's not my present suffering to like future promises, something that God's gonna do. No, you say no. What God has already given to you, just that it's just been hidden and veiled, and you just gotta open it up. Right, but it's already yours. God has already given it to you. Okay, so five truths to focus on. Current truth. This is true today. If you're in Jesus, if you have Jesus in your life, this is true today. All five of these things are true today. Number one, I am adopted. You are adopted. You are blessed and chosen by God, adopted into the family. Look at verse 14. It says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you will live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. We get to call God our daddy. The spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are children, then we are heirs. If we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may receive, share also in his glory. So currently, right now, today, life could be hard, but you are also adopted into the family of God. You don't have to do anything. It is true today. It is true in this moment. Yeah, I got a problem, but I am a child of God, an heir of the kingdom, co-heir. What will you focus on? You focus on that what that person said about you, or are you going to focus on God saying, "Hey, you're my child"? That's your choice. Okay, that's the first truth. The second truth is I am supported. I am supported. You can say not abandoned. I am supported, not abandoned. Because in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. You know, it talks about God Himself. As the Holy Spirit comes and lives with us, His presence is with us, right? In the same way, the Spirit helps us, comes alongside us and helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groan, right? So this is the thing. Yeah, you ever been in such a spot where things are just tough, and you're trying to pray, and you're like, all you do is like, ah, yeah. All you can say is, right? When you're in that spot, it says the Spirit is there to intercede with you, for you. Verse 27 says, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to the will of God. You know, it says the Holy Spirit is with us. And it says it helps us and prays for us, intercedes for us. It says that twice there. One of the things I want you to know is that you are not alone. The Spirit of God is with you. He said he will never leave you nor forsake you. That's true today, right now in this moment. Will you focus on that? Third truth is I am nurtured. I am nurtured. Verse 28 says, and we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. And this is the picture here. God has this plan for your life. He says he knew you. He chose you and predestined you. He justifies you. I mean, basically, he saves you, right? And then it says here, why? It says, there's that line there. It says, to be conformed to the image of his son. He is changing you. He's giving you, he has his purpose, right? And it says, no matter what happens, God has his plan for your life to transform you into the image of his son. And he uses everything, good and the bad. God causes all things to work together. And all that, he's nurturing you to help you to grow up. And he's doing it. He's nurturing you. He's conforming you. Right? So right now, you are being nurtured by God. You are being shaped and conformed and trained up by God. And he's using the bad things and the good things. He's doing everything to help nurture you into the image of Jesus. Right? So he's caring for you. He's helping you grow up. Okay? And number four, I am protected. I'm protected. You ever feel like no one got your back? You ever feel like you're alone? It says, what then, verse 31, what then shall I say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who will bring any charge against those God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. It's like who's going to come against you? If God is protecting you, if Jesus is for you, if Jesus is right there defending you, what do you got to worry about? You are protected right now. And then number five, you can probably guess this one if you read on. Right now, you are loved. You are fully, completely loved. Verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Like, is there anything that could bring a wedge between us and God's love? It says, no. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? It says, we are secure in God's love. It says, who shall separate us from the love of God? It says, no one can separate us from the love of God. And that no one has the ability to separate you from God's love. And that includes you yourself. You can't even separate you from the love of God. A lot of us think, oh, no one out there could make God stop loving me, but I can do that myself. No, you don't even have the power, even in your sin and rebellion, to make God stop loving you. You're secure in God's love. Nothing can separate us from you. So this is these five things. And I want to hear from you guys, maybe, you know, if you want to share, which one of these five truths do you feel like that is meaningful for you, that you needed to be reminded of today? Which one? What, anyone want to share? Which one of these just meaningful to them?
Two.
Huh? Number two. That you're supported? Why don't you say that?
For the last season, I know that I do pray, and sometimes I don't know what I'm thankful for.
Yeah. Okay. Who else want to share?
Number one.
Okay. Adopted? Why?
Because I was adopted as a child. I have two adopted children. So that means something very
special. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Very personal. Anyone else?
It's in the Bible. There's so much stupid things in here. This is so awesome.
So, okay. These two things are true at the same time. Life is hard, God is good. And you might be thinking, okay, yeah, I know the Bible says I'm adopted, I've been supported, I'm nurtured, I'm protected, I'm loved. But I don't feel it. I know it in my head, but I don't feel it. How can I know this to be true? Like, is there any real proof? Because I don't feel it day to day. Let me tell you what the proof is. Let's look at verse 32 there, that last verse. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? It's kind of a hard sentence, a lot of commas in between. This is what it's saying. You guys are worried about these other things. You're worried about God's blessings. You're worried about these things. If God loved you so much that he did not withhold his own son Jesus from you, but has already given you Jesus, the most precious thing in all of the universe, the most precious thing, the thing that he loved the most, if he loved you where he was so graciously willing to generously give you his son, it's like, why are you worried about the little stuff if he already gave you the main thing? Right? And just that he gave us Jesus dying on the cross for us, he's like, why would he begin to abandon you now? If he was so generous in giving you Jesus, why do you think he will be stingy with you today if he already gave you the treasure? If God was going to abandon you, he would abandon you on that cross. Right when he got that first whip, he's like, oh, no, okay, no, I'm done. No. That's when he would have abandoned you, but he said, no. No, I got to go. I got to finish this thing. I can't abandon them. So how you know this to be true today is you remember the cross, that promise of Jesus that he will never abandon us and that he's faithful, right? So this is the thing. If you're trying to figure out how to just deal with these two issues, life is hard, God is good, I just want to encourage you. You get to choose which one to focus on. No matter what you do, you can't fix that, you know, make life not hard. You can't, but you can focus. You can shrink your problems by focusing on the goodness of God. So this is a closing thought, and we'll pray. The best way to shrink your problem is to focus on the hidden blessing that you have because of Jesus. It's already there, but it's hidden. It's veiled. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you, and we thank you so much just for who you are. We thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. And I pray for those of us here who we're having an especially tough time. Life seems harder right now in this season, and it's hard to see your goodness, Lord. I pray that you would turn our attention to you, that you would open up our eyes to see, help us see how good you truly are. Lord, help us, Lord. Lord, as we close the service, one more song, we pray, Lord, that you would just be honored by the worship that we offer to you today. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Man, thank you, Pastor. Okay, before we move on to the music, take your notes that you just took, your sermon notes. These are really powerful declarations, these I am statements. And I'm learning how powerful they are. That some people call these affirmations. I call them declarations. This is who I am in Christ. So they're true, even if you don't feel it, even if you don't believe it, doesn't make it any less true. I mean, I've believed a lot of things in my life that turned out to be the false perception, but these are right out of God's word, so they're true. So I would like us to say these out loud, these five I am statements. I'll say it first and you can say it back in case you don't have the notes in front of you. I am adopted. Say it like you mean it. I am adopted. I am supported. I am nurtured. I am protected.
I
am loved. One more time. I am adopted. I am supported. I am nurtured. I am protected. That's true. I highly recommend you put that on your mirror, put it on your phone as a reminder.